This is the story of the one. As head of maintenance at a concert hall, he knows the show must always go on. That's why he works behind the scenes, ensuring every light is working, the HVAC is humming, and his facility shines. With Grainger's supplies and solutions for every challenge he faces, plus 24/7 customer support, his venue never misses a beat. Call quickgrainger.com or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
Hello and welcome to Talking Transfers from the 90 Min Podcast Network. I'm Scott Saunders, joined by 90 Min's transfer correspondent, Graham Bailey, and 90 Min's top cat is back. Toby Cudworth is with us on the show today. Please subscribe to the show on all your major podcast platforms and follow us on social media at @_ScottSaunders, @GrahamBailey, and @Toby_Cudworth. Toby, it's been a while. How's it going?
Has been a while. Good, thank you, mate. I successfully battling off illness. You can probably hear it in my voice. It's been trying to get me for the last 10 days or so, but I'm fine and coming on to the pod off the back of West Ham winning a Premier League game at the weekend, which is a rarity these days, but good game actually, wasn't it? Don't know if you guys watched it. 3-2.
I switched over towards the end.
You missed the good bit.
I did choose Liverpool, but yeah. David Moyes will be talking about him today. And Toby, I just have to ask you, since we're talking about that game, what did you make of Anthony Elanga's celebration?
Over the top, wasn't it? Let's be honest. And he had egg on his face come the end of the game.
Was he the one who took his vest off as well?
Yes.
And then yeah. West Ham scored straight away, right?
Immediately. 46 seconds.
I don't know, it's me getting old. I was just watching that thing, and that's literally not worth the effort of you taking that. Because it looks really hard to get on in the first place than half vests.
Yeah, I think the Diego Forlan one, when he scored a goal finally for Man United, and then he couldn't get his shirt back on back in like 2001, 2002, I think it was. Or when they had the, maybe in 2003. He could have joined Middlesbrough, Graham, Diego Forlan.
He should have joined us before you stole him at Heathrow Airport. Literally, stole him away as Keith Lamb was stood waiting for him at the gate to get him out. One of my first big exclusives, that Diego Forlan. So it has good memories for me, even though United getting there. But after a few games at United, we weren't too bothered.
Was he pre Afonso Alves, Graham? Did you then?
It was a few years before. Quite a few years before that. Okay. It was a good old fashioned one. They did the deal whilst he was in the air. So he landed thinking he was signed for Middlesbrough, but then he was soon. You don't have too many complaints if you're losing a player to, say, Fulham or West Ham, no disrespect. But when you land it's Man United, you can't really complain.
Diego Forlan mentioned there. On the agenda today, there's some John Obi Mikel mentions, who was notably seen in a Man United shirt before joining Chelsea. He's been talking about Victor Osimhen and talking to Victor Osimhen.
He signed for Manchester United.
He did, yeah. He signed for them.
There are a few, though. I mean, talking about, we had our most famous one of those. We signed Chris Smalling for Maidstone and we released him for free because he was homesick, and then he went on to fame at Fulham.
I did not think about that.
It was very rare. He was in England under 18s as a non-league player, and we got him. Yeah, and then we released him for nothing because he was homesick very early.
There you go. That's interesting.
What could have been?
We'll talk about what could be on today's show. We'll talk about Chelsea and if they'll sign a striker in January. Nick Jackson's on absolutely, he's ripping it up. 4 goals in his last 2 games. Did Chelsea even need a striker? We'll talk about that at the top of the show.
You say that as a Rasmus Højlund supporter, Scott. So anyone's ripping it up.
We're really going to this conversation again. You still don't rate Rasmus Højlund.
I've never said I don't rate him. I like him. I think
you like United, to go on a lot about it.
Because he's 70 million, he's not worth 70 million. But I think the initial plan for United, and we'll get onto them, where they had a main target and Højlund was going to come in and learn from someone and back him up, I think would have been similar to Nicholas Jackson at Chelsea, where he was never really signed to be front choice striker. The same as Højlund shouldn't have been, but they are what they are. And if he's purporting to be a £70 million striker, he's got to show it.
Is he top scorer in the Champions League?
He is. Yep. But it's probably good news for United, right, Scott? Because in that deal with Atalanta, I'm sure there would have been an X amount of Premier League goals scored in his first season. Triggers a payment. Just let him not score. It's fine.
We'll talk about United towards the end of the show and if they'll start their new team that's going to essentially run sporting operations and where we are with that. We'll talk about if they're going to put Ballon d'Or clauses in contracts for players that they sign in the future. Although we joke, they never pay the Anthony Martial clause for the Ballon d'Or because it never happens. So they saved themselves some money anyway.
You wouldn't pay any goal scoring clauses in that deal either, would you?
We'll talk about Chelsea at the top of the show. Strikers on the agenda. Christopher Nkunku, Reece James. We'll talk in the middle of the show about the game that every scout was at to sign almost every player on the pitch in midweek. I'll let you guess at the top of the show. You might have read 90min.com and seen that. Hopefully you have, but we'll reveal which game that was and which players were being tracked by which clubs and their scouts through the middle of the show. It was a good game as well. Good finish. We'll talk irons in the fire because Toby's here. David Moyes' contract on the agenda. We'll talk a Fluminense player, Andre, who has been linked with Liverpool, Arsenal, etc., etc. There's another couple of clubs from the Premier League in the running for him. And we, as we said, we'll talk about United's takeover towards the end of the show. 90min.com for all the latest from us. 90min.com/talking transfers for all the latest transfer news. And at 90min_football as well for all the latest on social media. Now, my first point of discussion. Will Chelsea sign a striker in January, Graham? We've mentioned Nick Jackson. Although we did say in the summer that Chelsea did want a striker. And I don't think the lines change, has it? Like a striker that can really come in and nail most of the chances that Chelsea are scoring. Because Nick Jackson, although he scored 4 goals in the week, tends to need a lot of chances to score.
Yeah, their plan is to bring in a frontline number 9. It always has been. And you said Jackson was brought in not to be that man. So I think he bears a lot of the brunt, doesn't he, sometimes? And, he's not the answer. Well, they didn't sign him to be the answer. They signed him to be in the squad. I think he's a better player than Armando Broja, who ironically won that penalty for them as well. So I think he's just slightly better than him. But from what we understand, Scott, no, the answer is no. They're probably not going to sign a striker in January. It will depend how Nkunku comes back. We did the reveal exclusively last week that he was aiming to start against Newcastle in the League Cup. Something Pochettino kindly confirmed the day after that he'd had a conversation. We think he'll play Premier League games before that game. But that's been penciled in for his first start, which is on December 19th. But they do have games against Sheffield United, Chelsea, and Manchester United at Old Trafford. So we will see him in Premier League action. And I think Nkunku added to that Chelsea team as it's playing at the minute with Palmer, Sterling and Nkunku, I think could be quite dangerous. So yeah, and I think it suits Chelsea where they can then think, you know what, we don't need another striker in January. We don't need to sign Ivan Toney. We can concentrate on our main target, which is Victor Osimhen. And he won't be going in January, so it's something they can look at for the summer. And I think it'd be, I think it suits Chelsea actually. I think it suits them wait until the summer. They're not particularly in top four contention, are they? So there's no pressure. But let's see how Nkunku does. I think it's good. It gives Nkunku 6 months to prove himself as well.
Are Chelsea out of the top four running, Toby? They've a couple of good results recently. Obviously they lost at Brentford, home to Brentford, this kind of thing as well, and they're quite a way back.
Yeah,
ten points on Tottenham.
Yeah, they should be out of the running for the top four. They're definitely improving, aren't they? Even though they conceded 4 at the weekend against City, obviously scored 4. Putting 4 against past Spurs on Monday night, okay, they were playing against 9 men, but generally their performances are getting better. I think Poch is getting his message across in terms of style. I think Conor Gallagher's looking really good in central midfield. He's impressed me quite a lot. So I think things are piecing themselves together, but there's too many other teams that are strong. City, Arsenal, Liverpool. Spurs are going to have to seriously fall off now to not be in that top four conversation. I know they've got a lot of injuries now. Newcastle, I'd expect to bounce back once they get players back from injury. United can't continue being this bad, can they, Scott? Or maybe they can.
Still in touch, though. They've been all, like, it's been a disaster of a season. They're still in touch. You know,
it's always an ongoing theme, isn't it, with United? They're always this close to an absolute crisis, but they're actually not a million miles away. I think Chelsea will probably be knocking on the door of the top six come the end of the season, but I think top four is beyond them. As Graham says, do they need Victor Osimhen in January? Maybe not. If Nkunku's coming back, I think he actually might slot into the team quite nicely.
Are we saying that Osimhen's going to be thrilled with Walter Mazzarri as his new manager?
Absolutely not. That is a real curveball, isn't it? I can't understand why Napoli
I just think it takes more than a month to negotiate a deal with De Laurentiis. It's going to take more than 1 month. So that's why I think Chelsea are probably looking at the summer. Because even if they wanted him for January, they've probably even left it too late now to negotiate that deal. It would take a lot more than 6 weeks to get that deal done. But yeah, it's fascinating. And you did miss Aston Villa at that conversation there, TC.
That's currently true. I don't think Villa can keep going, though. They've won 13 Premier League home games. If they keep going in the Conference League, I think they only need one or two injuries to key players, and then we'll actually see what Villa's squad is made of. I've seen it with West Ham. It's very difficult to keep going and, you know, juggling Premier League action and playing in Europe every Thursday. So Villa flying right now, but I think that the wheels will come off there at some point.
Tottenham and Newcastle struggling with injuries. It's amazing how this conversation comes up, and yet every time, well, United have players dropping like flies, but it's all Erik ten Hag's fault. Always, always Erik ten Hag's fault. Anyway, let's talk Chelsea still. John Obi Mikel, formerly of Chelsea, has spoken to Victor Osimhen and essentially said, I'll be the agent who makes this move happen. Victor Osimhen has revealed that he's owned two Premier League shirts in his life. Graham, who were they? Do you know?
I did say, wasn't it Chelsea and Manchester United?
It was, yes. Yes, it was. So, interesting. Does that indicate anything, Graham?
Indicates the one that got away for you boys, maybe. I just think Osimhen's had Chelsea written all over him for a long time. You know, I don't think he's... We saw him talk about the Saudi Pro League, where he does admit, you know, it's a lot of money, but not as thin as driven in football by money. I think he's, you know, everything what's happened at Napoli in terms of the disrespect that the club have shown to him and the way they've treated him, he's not going to sign this new deal. And that's what the club's looking at. We've written about Chelsea are waiting to see what he does with his contract. As long as he doesn't sign this new contract, he'll be leaving in the summer. And he's far too good a player for only one team to be interested in. But I'd still put Chelsea firmly in pole position for him. They need him. He'd fit Chelsea like a glove. But hey, I said, let's see what happens. Nicholas and Chris Nkunku could come in and score, what, 15 goals this season and be the one. But I still, no matter what, I think Chelsea do need someone like Osimhen, and I think he's a good fit.
Napoli fourth in the league. They lost at home to Empoli at the weekend going in the international break. So can Walter Mazzarri, if this happens, steer them back into the conversation about the title and back into the Champions League? Remains to be seen. You mentioned Nkunku there on the verge of a return in the next few weeks, you would say. Reece James has just completed his return, Toby. Some links with a move away from Chelsea in the last few days. We at Nottingham, I believe yesterday, as we record this, put out that there's not much in that. Reece James wants to stay. What info do you have for us?
Yeah, there's been a lot of noise about Reece James's future, actually, for kind of 6-9 months. Real Madrid have had a long-term interest in Reece James prior to him signing a new contract and prior to him being made Chelsea's club captain. Real looking for a long-term Danny Carvajal successor, and although they think he's probably got another 2 years left in the tank at the highest level, Real, as Graham would say, doing their due diligence on long-term targets, Reece James is probably near the very top of that list. But James signed that new long-term contract. He's completely committed to Chelsea's project. Moving forward, he wants to help the club get back to the top of the English game, wants to get them competing again in the Champions League. And look, Manchester City have even been linked to Reece James as well. And you kind of bring Carl Walker into that replacement conversation. He's 33 now and is still playing at the top level. He won't go on forever, and Reece James is a similar kind of player to him, but even that move wouldn't interest James. I think that's one that's completely off the table for him. And I wouldn't say, Graham, that you could rule Real Madrid out in the future, but we're talking years away here. Whereas Manchester City, I don't think Reece James is inclined to move to a domestic rival.
No, I think he's not, you know, right back is on Real's radar for the future. I think, as we've alluded to, a lot of people have started to pick up on this now. We suggested Alphonso Davies was the main fullback target for next summer. That was our information, and that's how it's looking like coming to pass. So I think Reece James or someone of that ilk will be a target for 2025. Who knows what comes through the system. I still have a sneaking feeling that we may see the amazing, the wonderful Mr. Freddy Valverde play there a little bit going forward as a wing back. He can play literally anywhere on the pitch and do it brilliantly. And in terms of City, I think a player who I'm surprised Madrid are not being linked with, but probably more of his age, is Joshua Kimmich. I think if City do go right back, sort of, not right back, but midfielder slash right back and play all sorts, like James can do to a certain extent, I think we'll see City maybe their interest in Kimmich come to pass in 2024. So it's one of those where if he was available, yes, City would do it. And clearly they like him. But yeah, it's that right-sided option for City is something they're looking at. Even though they've got Rico Lewis there to come in, who can play both sides, it is something they're looking at.
Yes, indeed. We'll move on to the game that every scout was at to sign every player on the pitch. Have you guessed what it is yet? It's Benfica 2, Sporting 1. This was a dramatic game, actually. I've just got back off watching the highlights. Sporting took the lead through a fantastic goal through one of Graham's... Is he on your list of favourite players, Graham?
Yeah, possibly he's getting there now. You know, he did break my heart in the
top 50.
I like him. I've always liked him a lot, though. He's always a player I've mentioned quite a lot. Obviously, I know you guys don't watch anything outside the top six, let alone the Premier League. So when I was talking
Who are we talking about, Graham?
Victor Gyökeres, the Swedish international. So he was at Coventry. You haven't seen it. I'm surprised you two even know who he is, given he never played Premier League football. So, yeah, the former Coventry striker who is now pulling up trees in Portugal. Obviously, we did a piece on him last week, actually. You can read about Milan and Dortmund heading the chase for Victor Gyökeres in 2024.
He scored the goal for Sporting. Benfica scored twice in injury time. João Neves, previously discussed on this podcast, possibly going to be discussed on this podcast moving forward into next summer as well, scoring the equaliser. And then Benfica went on to win 97th minute. Goal was ruled out by the assistant, then given via VAR. It's not all bad. It was interesting, to say the least, to look at that, because that goal wouldn't have stood if it was based on what the officials decided, but it was eventually given through VAR. But yes, how many scouts were there, Graham, that we know of? And to watch which players from both teams, even, I'm guessing we can talk about Antonio Silva, Gonçalo Inácio, João Neves, a ton of them.
Yeah, I'd say we've written a piece on it, and there's others as well. Florentino Luis, he'll have been playing in that game as well. I think João Neves has really overtaken him now. He's really he's the midfielder who everyone is watching. And again, there was more than a dozen teams at this game, Scott. Not a surprise, hey. Two of the most watched teams in Europe this season are Benfica and Sporting. It was a top two battle, so it's not surprising to see the teams there. You know, Man City, United, Arsenal, Liverpool were watching João Neves, the young midfielder who looks a special player, doesn't he, Scott? You know, we've spoken about him since the start of the year.
I like that he plays with his shirt tucked in.
Bit Roy Keane-esque, Scott. Roy Keane used to do that, didn't he? Very neat and tidy.
Profile of player, though. I don't know.
Yeah, I like him. He's a very good player, and the scouts like him. They think he's a bit special. And in terms of players being special in this game, the two defence centre-halves are really attracting a lot of attention. Liverpool and United both looking at Goncalo Iheanacho and Antonio Silva had contrasting games. Iheanacho red-carded in the second half for a second bookable offence. He's the left-sided defender, if we remember. And Antonio Silva, who is the wonderfully gifted Benfica centre-half, absolute Rolls-Royce, My information is United looking more at Silva than in the actual, because they don't really want two left-siders. You know, we know Erik ten Hag, I think it was at a press, one of his first presses, Scott, where he spoke about Martinez playing left side centre half. He likes a lefty and a righty. He said that. So the chance of
why Rafa Varane isn't playing as well, couldn't he?
Yeah. So the sign of Iheanacho, it doesn't tick any boxes for United. That's why Silva. And but Liverpool do indeed want a left side defender, so it makes sense that they're both looking at the different ones. Iheanacho, both outstanding players.
This is the story of the one. As head of maintenance at a concert hall, he knows the show must always go on. That's why he works behind the scenes, ensuring every light is working, the HVAC is humming, and his facility shines. With Grainger's supplies and solutions for every challenge he faces, plus 24/7 customer support, his venue never misses a beat. Call quickgrainger.com or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
What's the easiest choice you can make? Window instead of middle seat? Picking a vendor who sends a great gift basket? Outsourcing business tasks you hate? What about selling with Shopify? Whether you're selling a little or a lot, Shopify helps you do your thing, however you cha-ching. Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage to the first real-life store stage, all the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage? Shopify's there to help you grow. Whether you're selling scented soap or offering outdoor outfits, Shopify helps you sell. Wherever and whatever you're selling, Shopify's got you covered. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/try. Go to shopify.com/try now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. Shopify.com/try.
As we mentioned before, the future of Portuguese football is bright, and that's not including Ruben Dias at centre half. So, looking very impressive. And the other teams who were present: Aston Villa, Newcastle, West Ham, Tottenham. Tottenham, interesting ones, because they really like Sporting, and they've been, obviously, Pedro Porro's deal ever. They've been looking at Sporting a long time. But like Pedro Goncalves, the former Wolves midfielder, he goes by name, is it Pedro or Petro? Something different now. He goes by a different nickname. And Marcus Edwards, the former youngster who was booted out of Tottenham by Mauricio Pochettino, I believe it was, when he left. Mm-hmm. But he's getting a lot of attention, Edwards and Goncalves. Edwards, one of the ones who you boys are watching, TC, apparently, West Ham. So, but them aside, Barcelona, PSG, Milan, Juventus, Napoli, Atalanta, Bayern Munich, Dortmund, Leverkusen, Celtic, amongst the clubs who we know who were present at this game, Scott. So
that's why
I think you have just named the entirety.
Yeah,
of Europe,
that's why I said that the game that every scout was out to sign every player on the pitch. You know,
interesting. But I didn't hear that Real Madrid were there actually. So there's one. Not sure where they were there.
Well, Real Madrid have been busy tying down every single player they own to a new long-term contract, haven't they, Graham? What have they had in the last few weeks?
The way they work, it's so sick. For big clubs like United's this world, like, it must be sickening to see how well-run Real Madrid are being at the moment. It's just fascinating, isn't it? Have they announced Valverde yet?
Hey, Manchester United, why don't you sign our old players who are going to start, getting worse?
Hey, you're probably going to make money on Casemiro, so don't slag him off.
We'll talk about that in a later show.
Valverde. I think Valverde's been, has that been announced now? We did a story, about a month ago, Toby, didn't we? About it was Camavinga and Valverde. And it's really curious the way Real were doing this now. I'm getting information from sources at Real saying this is done. But they're taking like a month to 6 weeks to announce these deals. But as you say, they're doing that many, TC. They have to stagger their approach.
They're staggering it for impact. Yeah,
it's that map money they're doing. So, I think everyone's signed up now for them. There was Rodrigo, Vinicius, Valverde, Camavinga. Tchouameni was the one, but I think we've done a report last week saying that's due to take place, talks anyway, at the start of January, so you imagine his isn't far off either. So yeah, superb work from Real, as ever.
That's how you run a football club. We'll talk at the end of the show about how Man United could look within the next few weeks, but we touched on West Ham being at that game. Irons in the fire. Toby, what have you got for us?
Yeah, nothing really to do with Marcus Edwards, although he was the focus of
Graham's Graham on the hammer sign on. Yeah,
the hammer sign. Sorry,
that's what we should. I thought we should all do that.
Not for me.
Anyway, sorry,
that's all right. West Ham were at that game watching Marcus Edwards, but that's not what I'm going to expand on. David Moyes, his future at West Ham. I don't know how much longer we're going to have to talk about this. Probably for the next 7 months, which takes us up to the end of his contract. But the rumours still abound that West Ham want to replace him, that West Ham will replace him. Yada, yada, yada. Fans upset with the style of football.
Are they upset, TC?
Yeah, they are. We're kind of going back to the old ways of West Ham getting results in Europe. So things are going good in
it's so
league.
Reminiscent of last season, isn't it? Where he gets bad results and he's on the brink and he gets a result and that's what's
easing the pressure, I would say, is that West Ham had a good start to the Premier League campaign and then it dipped massively, played some difficult teams and had some hard fixtures, but things are still going well in Europe, so it's kind of offsetting the pressure that might be on Moyes' shoulders. Our understanding is that West Ham have been looking at future replacements for him. Won the Conference League in June, has 1 year left on his contract, but there's been no engagement over a new contract. David Moyes incidentally did say in the lead up to the game at the weekend that he's not done with management. He still feels like he's got more in the tank and that, you know, reports of him potentially moving upstairs, likely wider the mark. He feels like he's still got something to offer as a manager. Our understanding is that West Ham are in no hurry to replace him despite the indifferent Premier League results. Beat Forest at the weekend, which was a good result. West Ham are back up to ninth. And David Sullivan looks at this as in he doesn't really see an available candidate who offers substantially more than David Moyes. And while West Ham are picking up results and getting the odd win and maintaining a decent position and doing well in Europe, there's no real appetite to make that change. Likewise, there's no real appetite to extend his contract. So I think we're going to get to a situation where Moyes' contract runs down at West Ham. We see who's available in terms of managers, Graham Potter, one who's currently unemployed. West Ham like him, but again, he's not of the calibre where West Ham would want to act right now and bin David Moyes off to bring Potter in. But if he's available next summer, he's an option for West Ham. Arnie Slot from Feyenoord, Paulo Fonseca considered over the last few months. Those names could come back into the frame. And I think it would just be a case of who's available at the time that Moyes' contract expires at the end of June. One thing I think we can say with near certainty, Graham, is that David Moyes is not going to be signing an extension at West Ham, barring a miracle. And I think the way that the fans react to the style of play and the discourse around Moyes being there, I'm not sure the club think that that's in their best interests.
Yeah, he didn't. I think everyone forgets, you know, he didn't get that contract after winning the Conference League. And in all fairness, if they'd lost that game, he probably wouldn't have kept his job, Toby, would he? You know, the way they finished that last season, you know, the horrendous Premier League record. I think he probably papered over the cracks a little bit towards the end with a few wins, but it wasn't a good season. And you know, you're hovering around 9th, 10th, 8th now. I think with that squad, you should be playing teams off the park. Kudos, Boyd, Paqueta. You've got talent in that squad that is top. You know, have Villa got more talent than you? Villa are pushing top four. Have they got a more talented front line than you? I don't think they have. You know, that like Paqueta, Boyd, and Kudos is remarkable. Talented, and you shouldn't be in mid-tier. But I think that's the issue Moyes has got now, where you're even better than you were last season in terms of talent. So it's weird to say, no, you lost Declan Rice. Going forward, the talent is unreal. I think that's where he's got his issues. But I think, is it fair to say the fans are of a similar ilk to Sullivan, where there's no point in just booting him out, though. You've got to have something lined up. And if there's no one better in mid-season, you may as well let him see the season through, really.
Absolutely. But as you say, Graham, it's the talent of player that West Ham have got now. Throw Edson Álvarez into that mix. If West Ham don't improve or don't change things, they're just going to lose these players that they've worked so hard to sign.
Is Moyes picking the right team if every week, Torbert? I see Álvarez not playing sometimes. Is he picking the right team now?
Yeah, Álvarez missed out recently because of suspension. He's been very good in the heart of midfield. And actually, he's made the change recently where Mohamed Kudus is playing on the right-hand side. Jared Bowen's gone up front.
and Mikel Antonio has been benched for the last couple of games. I think that's been a breath of fresh air for West
Ham.
Is he not
playing Kudus centrally?
No, he's playing on the right-hand side, but he's kind of floating inside, and then Vladimir Sofal providing the overlap. It's more fluid than what it has been. When you have Antonio up front, you've only really got one option, which is chuck the ball up to him and hope it sticks. He's veered away from that plan a couple of times this season. West Ham have lost games with it. West Ham won at the weekend with Antonio on the bench. But you've got to get the best out of these kind of players, because we saw with the interest in Paqueta in the summer from the likes of Manchester City, they will move on unless West Ham clearly have an ambition to do more. I don't think David Moyes can take the team any further than what he has done. And ultimately, that's the path West Ham are going to go down.
Just a question here. Like, I'm looking at the top 10 in the Premier League at the moment, and everybody wants to break into the top five, top six. There's 10 teams, really, that are trying to do the same thing. So not everybody can, you know?
Yeah.
So
agreed. I think West Ham's aspirations have to look at top seven is the ambition. I think every season they want to be getting European football. There's a taste.
Look at the talent they've got, Scott. That West Ham, them three players particularly, like Paqueta, Kudus, Bowen, that's up there with Man City and Liverpool aside. I think even Arsenal, it's comparable to most teams up there. I don't think they're punching above the weight. I think West Ham in ninth is, I think it's below where they should be.
In terms of individual match winners, I think you're right. Kudus can win a game on his own. Paqueta can win a game on his own. Jared Bowen's got 8 Premier League goals, clearly playing at the top of his game. West Ham can beat any given side, and I think that's why the aspiration is we should be competing for top seven. Ninth at the moment, so not a million miles away from it, but when West Ham lose, they generally lose badly. Very similar to Manchester United, Scott. When it's bad, it's really bad.
So you're ninth, but it's one win in five, TC. Isn't it?
Yeah. That's why Sunday's result, even though it was Nottingham Forest, was huge for David Moyes, because if West Ham didn't win that game, I think the pressure and the noise would have been ramping up.
Right, moving to the form team in the league. Manchester United have won 4 out of their last 5 games.
He's in contention for manager of the month, isn't he?
It's just incredible, really. It really is. But you look at the teams that they've beaten. They should be beating those teams, and they've had that Man City heavy loss that Toby mentioned was bad. In the middle of that, but United are one of the two teams who have joined the race for Andre Graham, who plays for Fluminense and has been of interest to Liverpool, Arsenal, etc.
Yeah, he's a fascinating player. You know, we've been talking about him for quite a while, from January. Fulham first tried to sign him in January, and it's come to this summer where Liverpool were ready to buy him, but Fluminense and Andre were both, no, he's not moving, because he wanted to help Fluminense win the Copa Libertadores. And something which he did. He led them there, and he was by far the best player in that game. By far the best player in this Fluminense team. He's a really, really interesting option. Fulham are still interested, especially when it comes to Paulinho possibly still leaving in January. Liverpool are still interested. We said they pulled out. They are still interested, but I think they might be getting scared away by the amount of teams who are in for him now, because Liverpool were in for him when there wasn't much interest. He was a bit under the radar. But now Arsenal have joined the hunt. We know Edu's watched him personally, and we can confirm now Tottenham and Manchester United are both very much in for him. And if for nothing else, I think, guy, it sounds simplistic, this guy's available for about around £30 million, we think, is the asking price. As Toby alludes to all the time about Premier League tax, what can you buy for £30 million? You're getting a Brazilian international, one of the best midfielders in the Brazilian league. He's a good age. He's going to come straight into your starting lineup. I think it's no surprise to see Tottenham United. Tottenham, who could move on from Højbjerg, perfect signing. United, as we alluded to, could move on from Casemiro. This is exactly the type of signing they need to be making going forward. You can see why so many times teams are turning up and seeing this now. Liverpool, you know, they might have waited one window too many. They should have maybe done it in January, or I don't know why did it in the summer. Didn't they just buy him and then let him stay there till January? He wants to... You know, it was a bit simplistic of just letting him stay there. So, well, yeah, sign him. And then, City did that with Julian Alvarez, didn't they? They let him stay. Was it Boca or River? I can't remember which one. It's a fascinating player. We're going to be talking a lot about Andre in the coming weeks, because he is going to move in January. And I'd be very, very surprised if he's not to the Premier League now. There is Juventus-Napoli interest, because at that price, even the Italians and the Spanish clubs and Germans can afford him as well. The Premier League won't just blow them out the market, but it does appear he's Premier League bound.
We mentioned United there. Plenty to cover on them in terms of, we mentioned Casemiro. We've mentioned, Rafa Varane. Something probably isn't right there. Jadon Sancho is excluded from the team, obviously, as it stands. We've mentioned there, they potentially are looking at Antonio Silva. They're potentially looking at Andre. They might need another striker. But Graham, that will save that for another show. What has to change first is the takeover, the 25% purchase of the club from Jim Ratcliffe, and the plans that they have then to take over the sporting operation. Where do we stand on that? Is that effectively, we're just waiting for confirmation on that, and how soon could we get it?
Yeah, United as a club are hoping announcement is sooner rather than later. My information coming through, Scott, is the hope there'll be some sort of announcement maybe before the United's next Premier League game. May not be official, but it might be some sort of announcement saying it's in place and they're progressing, etc. Just to give the fans something else to take home, really. The official, when Ratcliffe can get his official parking spot at Old Trafford, I think it's probably more towards the end of December officially. But I think something, it will be confirmed before then. I said they're hoping for some sort of announcement before the next game. As we know, Sadiq Brailsford is working behind the scenes, looking into what needs to be done. He's not going in there like the Grim Reaper saying "you're out, you're out, you're out." He's a very sensible, pragmatic guy, well respected in sport. So he's looking at it. He's seeing what needs to be done. What can Ineos as a company bring to the table? Because, they're very well versed in the sporting world, from the cycling team to Mercedes F1 to Nice football. They've got a lot of knowledge there in the company. So they are using that at the moment to build on what United need to do in the future. And I think it's pretty exciting. I'm not a United fan, but I imagine it's quite exciting from where you've been with the Glazers and then Arnold and Murta. I think the headlines will be Arnold and Murta likely getting the boot. And aside from, I think not quite up there with the Glazers, Scott, but I think quite a lot of United fans would like to see them out before the Glazers anyway.
Well, and you level this at Ed Woodward as well. He's a representation of the ownership, and Richard Arnold has succeeded him and had a rotten time. He really has. In the 18 months, 2 years, he's had everything to deal with, from off-field issues with Mason Greenwood, with Anthony, and then there's Jadon Sancho's exclusion for footballing reasons, obviously, and this kind of thing. And yeah, this, the Casemiro signing, which was great last year, but then everybody kind of knew that at some point they'd end up biting the bullet for it, and we're at that point now. So, I think the exciting thing is really that if this does happen, or when this does happen, there should be some kind of communication. And that communication is probably more communication than we've ever had in the 18 years from the Glazer family. If Sir Jim comes in, there could be an investment into facilities, which is more in the first day than the Glazers have invested in the club in the entire 18 years. So this is a club that's been eroding.
You're still the home. You've got one of the best training grounds in world football. Still, you're not training on a park field somewhere like which West Ham were literally doing not that long ago. I think it's you were still in Porter Cabins not that long ago, TC, weren't you? Before you,
well, yes,
West Ham recently. United. No one spent more money. What is it last? What was the comparison?
Do you not think that's the problem, Graham?
I don't think it's the Glazers and the money. I think their appointments have been poor. Sure, yes, they have. I think with Sir Jim coming in now, I think this will fix an awful lot quite quickly. I think if he gets it right and he's one to be trusted, United fans have to place some trust in Sir Jim, knowing that he's going forward and he wants the best for the club and he's going to get sporting operations right. We know United desperately need two or three of these sporting people in there, don't you? You need this, like as we talked about Real Madrid, you need someone like what Perez and Calafat have done there. You need these good footballing people to come in. And for you United fans, I really hope they get it right. And I think there's a really good chance to do get it right. Not guaranteed. But
of course, of course. Not guaranteed, but we'll see. So potentially before United next play, I think they play Everton after the international break, potentially there could be some change, of course, on the United front, and we will discuss that on a later episode if and when it is announced. We'll talk about potential transfers that United could be making in January and beyond that, both in and out of the club. And plenty else to touch on as well. We're approaching the January transfer window, about 6 weeks away, and there'll be clubs who are quite busy, you would imagine. But thanks to Toby and thanks to Graham for today's show. I've been Scott. Please subscribe to Talking Transfers on all your major podcast platforms and follow us on social media at @_ScottSaunders, @GrahamBailey and @Toby_Cudworth. Nightingmin.com for all the latest from the team. Nightingmin.com/Talking Transfers for all this transfer news. And Nightingmin_football on social media for everything that we do. Keep an eye out this week. The Premier League top 50 ever is being released, and I'm sure that people will disagree with it. So enjoy that. Get in touch with us. Tell us what you think about that. And keep an eye out, because we'll be right there talking about all things transfers on both this podcast and on site and on social as well. So until next time, thanks for listening, everyone. From Toby, Graham, and myself. Until next time, thanks for listening. See you soon.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
Save big on your Memorial Day barbecue, all in the Kroger app. Get 3-pound rolls of juicy 80% lean ground beef for $3.49 a pound with a digital coupon. Then get select varieties of flavorful Powerade, Body Armor Super Drink, or Arizona Tea for 77 cents each, all with your card. Shop these deals at your local Kroger, less than 5 miles away. Or tap the screen now to download the Kroger app to save big today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Prices and product availability subject to change. Restrictions apply. See site for details.